Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Welcome to the Worst Year Ever, the podcast that started 3 minutes and 18 seconds ago. We talk about, like, the news and shit. What do we do? What do we do? Katie, what is our job? Who
are
we? We
talk about the news and shit.
We talk about the news and shit. I got that right?
Katie, Cody, and Robert.
All right. All right.
You know, it's unclear what our purview is. We set out with a specific goal. That goal was quickly squashed, and it became something else. And here we are, well past the original worst year ever, but a new and exciting worst year ever.
It's also unclear if the episode did start 3 or 4 minutes ago
or
if it started now. I don't know. I don't care.
Oh, it's been going. It's been done started, Cody.
We done did it.
We done did it.
And here we go.
And here we go.
Why don't you introduce our guests for today?
First of all, America's back, baby.
Yes,
America is back, baby.
We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that today. I did that for Sophie. I hope it was worth it.
I didn't like it. It felt dirty.
Okay, I'm sorry. today, we were going to talk about this last week, actually, in our little hodgepodge episode of catching Katie up on the news.
Yeah.
But we felt we wanted to give it a little more time. And so we're doing that now. That's what we're doing today. And with us to discuss this is Lance from the comedy stream sketch duo The Serfs. Is that accurate?
Thank you very much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure and an honor to be here.
Hey, Cody, you did a really good job on that intro. I'm proud of you. Small note, you didn't specify what it is we're having.
Well we're going to get to that. It's a surprise. It's all part of the illusion. Okay? The mystique.
I have some good news from the internet before we get into things.
Oh.
The Libertarian Party of New Hampshire just announced that it's starting a crusade to legalize child labor, which excited about.
Wow.
I've been pro child labor for a long time.
Libertarian Party of the age consent, just talking about ages.
Yeah.
And what is an appropriate age for things?
Long been one of Robert's causes. So I'm thrilled for you, man.
I think if you're in the upper 10% of the income bracket, your kid should have to work in a coal mine.
See, when
live in the coal mine. Sure. You don't get to keep them. Like, they become the mine's property.
Yeah, school in the mine, home in the mine.
Or the canaries. They could be the canaries.
They could be the canaries. You can do whatever you want with them. They're basically slaves.
Yeah.
Yes, we canary.
Well, when Robert said good news from the internet, I thought he was going to tell us that we all can now confirm that Jeff Bezos looks terrible in a cowboy hat.
Oh, no.
Was there actually any doubt about
Trump
that?
Trump got COVID a second time and now he's dead.
any number of possibilities came through my head.
Who knows? My favorite thing about that that libertarian child labor tweet is that you can see Gary Johnson replies to it, and he's like, "I don't know, guys, come on!" And like everyone's mostly supporting Johnson there, but it reminds me of that one clip from their debate where they talk about
needing
a driver's license, and the guy's like, "What? I needed one for my toaster," and Gary Johnson's like, "I don't know. I think it's reasonable to ask for some sort of proficiency when you're operating a motor vehicle." And this is a crowd of boos. So.
That was the best, because that's unironically the thing I agree with about libertarians. No driver's licenses, mandatory cars.
No, I have no notes.
That's what I was going to say.
It will reduce carbon emissions because there will be less living drivers after about 6 weeks.
I mean, there's a positive spin.
Is that?
Yeah.
It's not eco-fascism.
A lot of things are going to spin, Katie.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. This really is setting the tone for our conversation.
I disagree with you completely.
I do too. I disagree. And none of our listeners could see the face I made, which was a huge, huge cringe. Okay, Cody, do it.
Let us talk about what we're actually talking about today. I believe last week, a mass grave was found of children at a residential school in Canada. And there's a long history of this and the school system in Canada. We had some in America too. It's just sort of an ongoing issue. And this is, it's the fact that they found this is wild. And it's just like the tip of the iceberg. It seems that there are many more throughout the country. Lance, I don't know if you want to sort of just jump right
in. Set us up
here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You have just set us up for the greatest premise of comedy ever, right? This is gonna
This is what we call.
It's going to be a light one.
Yeah.
Rule of threes. This is two. And so the third surely will be.
I don't even know where to start with this one. I think it's really sad that this is something that has suddenly awoken, I think, the world mm-hmm. to this. But anyone who is well aware or part of the Indigenous communities in Canada, and I grew up with an Indigenous mother who I guess tried to make me familiar with these kind of things, knows that this is absolutely no surprise. This is one of 139 schools. So this is school one of 139 that most likely have a fuck ton of mass graves of children. Unfortunately, this one wasn't even dug up. It's not as if they dug up the remains and found a whole bunch of like little baby skeletons. This was a satellite imagery photo that allowed them to see that was down there. But there's no way to talk about this without this going really tragic from the get-go. The majority of the families of those kids were told that their kids had ran away. So anyone who's not familiar with the residential school system of Canada, and I'll try to get into it a bit, that is what most of the Indigenous families were told, is that their kids just ran away when in fact they were effectively murdered through this program.
And this program was going on for how long? This is a long-standing program. I would love to dig into a little bit of the history here because I think, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So how much do y'all know about the father of Canada, Sir John A. Macdonald?
Yeah, a bit. We did a Bastards episode on the residential schools. And he was, I remember, a cool dude.
Okay.
Sir John A. Macdonald, right? So mm-hmm. he's got to be.
Yeah, he's the guy who made burgers in Canada. Yeah.
So Sir John A. Macdonald, which y'all of the Yankee Doodle variety, you guys have had a problem for a little while with tearing statues down. I've heard that's an offensive thing for Americans to do, to try and abolish their history.
We need reminders of all of our historical monsters out in public.
That's why
for us to celebrate.
That's why there's a giant Hitler statue right next door to my house, so that I can look out and go, "Oh yeah, that was a bad idea."
Mm-hmm. Well, if we don't have these statues out in public, then we won't learn from lessons in this history, which we've done because of the statues are there.
All of the learning we've done will stop when we
forget
the statues. Anyway, we've done that as a tangent bit.
I was going to say we're joking, but didn't Marjorie Taylor Greene actually say that out loud recently?
Probably.
Something to the effect that, like, you know, I need to have a Hitler statue so I can teach my children about all the bad things he did.
What?
That's super not surprised if she did.
I know. We're doing it as a bit, but that's a real thing that was said out loud.
So many things out loud. Oh, my God.
I know. It's hard to do bits these days. It just is.
So anyways, with Sir John A, that's been a longstanding thing here, obviously, in Canada, where, you know, there are statues of him are being covered in blood, but for good reason, because he was an absolute monster. He's considered the father of this country in the sense that he united what was once a major corporation. The Hudson Bay Company used to actually own the majority of what we now call Canada. The Hudson Bay Company, which was exclusively used, I think, mainly for fur trading. That was a big part in the inception of Canada. He was a genocidal maniac who was more concerned with the mass starvation of Indigenous people, and was also one of the fathers and architects of the residential school system in Canada, which from its inception, the purpose of it was to, quote, remove the Indian from within. So the idea was that they would take all these children, they would put them into residential schools and effectively remove their language, their culture, their history, their religion, their names, everything to try and make them more Aryan, to try and make them more white and pure as a method of, I guess, not even culturally erasing them, but effectively erasing what they deemed to be I don't know if a nice way to put this. I'm sorry. This entire episode is going to be so dark. There's not going to be a lot of comedy here.
Not the entire. We started off strong.
It is. I think the most famous one here is the Carlisle in Indian Industrial School. Here where it was just that it was to erase them, and basically sort of assimilate them. Like, well, you have to learn how to talk this way. You got to learn how to do this. You got to learn how to do this. You got to stop, ignore, like forget everything that you grew up with. Here's how you have to act. And it is just ethnic cleansing. That's what it is.
This same year, stories came out that industrial schools in Ireland were found with mass graves in them. There's like a lot that's wrapped up in this, a lot of cool Catholic Church shit, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kill the Indian, save the man was their phrase. Similar to,
what you're saying. In Ireland? What?
The
Carlisle school was kill the Indian, save the man.
I was like, wait a minute. Yes. Whoa, here. Okay.
Yeah. similar things in Australia as well. Mm-hmm. Similar programs were enacted there. What they effectively were doing in Canada is they were literally taking children from their mother's arms and ripping them from their families and then forcibly putting them into these schools, sometimes for a year, sometimes for multiple years, where the children were indoctrinated to be able to effectively erase their language, their names. They were actually given sometimes serial numbers as names instead of their actual given Aboriginal names or Indigenous names. And effectively in these programs, they were systematically tortured, both physically as well as sexually. There's thousands upon thousands of cases of kids experiencing sexual abuse and torture under these schools. And I don't know if there's any way to characterize which was one of the worst aspects of this, but time and time again, it would seem that these children were effectively unable to return to normal life. I mean, the level of trauma that was experienced both to the families and then intergenerationally to the offspring still has not had any way of settling itself within the Canadian sphere. I don't know where you would really want to start in terms of the history of these schools themselves. If you wanted a jumping off point, they effectively were utilized on a mass level since the early, I think 1889 was one of the first ones that was established. They were effectively started by the Catholic Church itself, and then they got taken over by the federal government of Canada. And then effectively it was just the government of Canada that was enacting these. Around the 60s was what became known as the 60s coup. In Canada, in which the government of Canada was ramping up this entire system, to which the numbers became absolutely abhorrent around that time, where you're literally taking thousands and thousands of kids from their families to put into these schools.
And these programs lasted until, I read somewhere in the mid-90s.
1996 was when the last one closed down.
Yeah. That's shockingly recent.
Mm-hmm. You know how Canada is always associated with hockey. I think the last time we won the Stanley Cup was 93. So,
Texas has won it more frequently.
Yeah, unfortunately. 96. It's one of those things where people like to talk about this as if it's something that happened long ago. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons that hopefully we can explore the concepts of land back and stuff like that a little bit later, because I know a lot of people on the left seem to sometimes obfuscate the land back movement with people saying like, go back to Europe or something like that. Right. I wouldn't mind clarifying that a little bit. But when it comes to the specifics of this program and the ongoing genocide of Indigenous peoples in Canada, it's still ongoing. Which is what I really try to stress to people, especially in BC alone. This year, it came out that Indigenous kids are getting IUDs forcibly inserted into them. I'm talking girls as young as like 10 years old are getting IUDs. I mean, that's effectively eugenics, right? Like if you want to define it,
and forcibly inserting something into a child is also assault.
Yes.
There's a whole program of forced sterilization. I mean, I guess you can call it that program, but I feel like some of what I've read about that is incredibly recent, you know, and trying to force. I read one story of an Indigenous woman in Canada had five children or whatever, and then the doctor forced her to, you know, have a hysterectomy while she was after she gave birth to her child against her will.
Which is like, just like doubly like sadistic, just like right after you have the child to like do this.
It's Nazi shit, right?
Like,
you know, Nazi shit.
It's straight up Nazi shit. It was 2008 when a class action lawsuit was launched in Saskatchewan, where hundreds of Indigenous women came forward to say that exactly what you're talking about, that was such a systemic problem. They were actually being told by the provincial governments of Canada under our public healthcare system that they had to undergo forced hysterectomies or stuff of that nature just to receive healthcare. Mm-hmm. So it's an ongoing issue when people talk about, you know, the genocide of Indigenous peoples in this country.
I'm assuming there's an element because we just did some coverage of the industrial schools in Ireland, which, you know, that mostly stopped by the mid 90s there. But one of the things that they started doing from the 50s on was the Catholic Church would take babies from parents and adopt them out for money. And so it was both like it was like a child trafficking thing. And I'm assuming like that there was some effort similar to that to like get kids out of their homes and make a profit on it at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, capitalism does play an element to this. I'm sure we can't talk about this without at some point bringing that up. That was obviously a big issue for John A. MacDonald, for example. He was seen as what was, quote, the nation builder. Obviously a big man to fight against strike movements and stuff like that. The profit element obviously comes into this as well. If we're talking about how the initial fur trade itself was part of the actual birth of the country known as Canada today. But I think the most important thing when exploring the residential school system in Canada, and especially one that is probably used for other countries, is to look at it as something that was done with such intent and purpose. Especially it came from the government itself, right? Like we're talking about the federal government of Canada effectively enacting a policy that had so many, if you want to add morality to this, just evil elements to it that would not only try to erase Indigenous heritage, culture, language, all that kind of stuff, but was also effectively just tearing families apart from you know, their roots.
Yeah, I mean, there's this thing you keep seeing in the coverage of it where it's like, you know, this is a dark moment for Canada, as if it's not a thing that runs throughout the entire history of the country. Like it's not it's not a dark moment. It's woven into the fabric of the nation.
Us too here.
Yeah.
And right. There has been no real reckoning with the fact that this is and has been and continues to be, especially in these situations, genocide, cultural genocide, however you want to phrase it. I think it's interesting. This is from the New York Times that I saw. Like, as you mentioned, this is a couple times it's been mentioned. This isn't news. This is a known thing that these children have been missing. And I thought this was interesting from New York Times. Mr. Trudeau said the government will heed calls from Indigenous leaders for money and other help to use radar and various technologies to search for the remains of students at other schools. In 2019... he budgeted $27 million Canadian dollars to look for graves, but the money was not distributed. So, I mean, that was just like, I was like, excuse me? Wait a minute. So you've known this to be a problem for long enough that you've had this conversation, not you, the leaders, as they would be, whoever they're
around
this time. Yeah, come on, Lance.
I'm sorry.
And you've even budgeted money for this, but it never got distributed. So what's your priority here? Where's the fire to deal with this, you know?
Right.
Answer for them, Lance.
Well, because calling it, you know, this dark moment, aside from, again, like it was an explicit program woven into the nation for decades and decades and decades and decades.
The Indian Act is still a part of Canadian like legislature. Like it still exists.
Right. Yeah. Like there's no for it to be like a dark moment, you would show shame and like repentance and like and repeal these things and maybe don't forget that you said you like spend a few million dollars in 2019.
Also 27 million. Come on. But
exactly.
But still, yeah. Use the money.
I have a lot of things to say about Justin Trudeau. I mean, first off, we have to acknowledge that he is the first Black Prime Minister of Canada. So
historic.
He's working in the comedy. It's good.
There was that fun year where we just every month another politician somewhere in North America would have photos of them doing blackface came out. That was like
that
simpler
wild?
Times.
Yeah, it just kept happening. Like it just kept happening.
It was a
in America especially. No, that was wild. Well, the thing with Justin Trudeau and this whole issue is that I'm sure a lot of you know as Americans how like performatively woke he is, right? Mm-hmm.
Like that's always been... many of the photos.
In in the early Trump years, a lot of Americans were like, if only we had a president like that who would say nice things. And then
everyone was desperate for just like, we just need a nice boy. We need a nice young man to say the nice things.
And he cleans up so well.
He's got, you know what he has? He has real strong Jacob Frey energy. The Minneapolis mayor.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's
very got boy mayor energy.
Yeah.
the thing about Trudeau when it came to all this though is that he right now is doing obviously like he's kneeling, he's crying on camera, he's going to the graves, all that kind of stuff. It should be mentioned that he has spent over $100 million fighting survivors of residential schools in court.
There it is,
$100 million more than his predecessor. Stephen Harper, the one who's well known as being a Canadian piece of shit conservative. The performatively woke Prime Minister of Canada has been an absolute shitbag when it comes to the stuff behind the scenes.
Of course.
You're right. That really did need to be
Canadian
said.
Money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's what, like 20 million American or something.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that in and of itself like should tell you something about how the government actually treats this. There is what is called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. And I do have to put forward that, you know, the government as of recently has been doing a little bit more in terms of trying to investigate this kind of stuff and trying to bring some light to it. But at the same time, it is in of itself, like it is very performative if you are doing that while at the same time actively battling residential school survivors in court to make sure they don't have their day.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's like on its face. It's like, so you don't believe any of the things you're saying.
Absolutely.
That's like the traditional liberal line is you talk about how horrible the conservatives are and then you do the same thing, but more so, but you're quiet about it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So you kneel in public and you spend $100 million in court. And
it's the illusion of civility.
Yeah, the illusion of civility.
It's actually completely uncivil what they do, but they say it nicely.
that part has been ridiculous. There is some good news. I'll obviously try to steer maybe the end of this to some hopium instead of just staying quite so dark. But
sure.
You know, when it comes to Trudeau's treatment of this, I mean, he has tried to call out the Catholic Church and their complicity in this entire ordeal. And that is bringing right now a pretty funny scenario in which I don't know if you saw recently, the Pope yesterday had to give a proclamation of, you know, we are sorry. I should be completely clear here. He didn't even apologize. He said, we feel sorrow for the Canadian people. And I was like, sir, that is so rich. So rich because the Canadian people were the ones running the schools, right? Like at the very least, please say like,
I'm so sorry they had to run those schools.
What he was apologizing for. He feels sorrow that you guys got caught.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It felt like one of those bad breakups where the person's like, I'm sorry that you feel bad about this.
Oh, I hate fucking get out of here with that bullshit. I hear your pain.
We,
fuck
the Catholic
you.
Church, are listening and you don't like mass graves for your children. This is important for me to note down. I'm going to write this and I'm going to bury it in the Vatican basement so we don't forget.
For posterity. Right. Yes.
Not that I should be surprised. I mean, he is basically running cover for the largest pedophile ring in history. So
yeah.
Obviously I wasn't you know, going to expect much, but that certainly made for a pretty hilarious moment. And now there's this whole Spider-Man meme of all of them calling each other out, where the Catholic Church is like, well, this is unfair for Canadians to posture and point the finger at us when it was the federal government who was doing it. And to be honest, it's both.
Well, you know, right. They're both right.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. You both have blood in your hands.
But like also like the audacity of like the Canadian government being like, the Pope must apologize. Did he make you do this? What?
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Lance, you mentioned wanting to talk about the Land Back movement, and I'd love to hear a bit about what's going on there.
Okay, so...
or a lot. It doesn't have to be a bit. Sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think this is something that, unfortunately, like, you know, as I'm sure all of you are probably terminally online, like myself, mm-hmm. you probably see all the leftist discourse that's constantly, you know, mutating and evolving. And I found one thing that a lot of people on the left seem to kind of stumble over is the idea of land back, as if it's somehow, like, have we not moved past that idea that we are supposed to have nation states and why did they want to have their own independent nation state? Can we all just not work together kind of concepts like this? And I try to put this in context. The history of Indigenous people, and especially them in relation to both the Canadian and the American governments, is a lot of treaties that were signed on the behalf of what we now call like colonizers, right? The people who originally colonized Indigenous land would sign treaties with Indigenous peoples that would say, you have autonomy over this own selective piece of land or plot of land. You are allowed to rule this as an independent nation. And at the same time, we will have a partnership in which we are allowed to live in this area, and we will have an exchange of goods and services, and we will help each other out. That what is typically in writing. And these treaties still exist today. However, they're never honored on the other side. And as we go along through history, we'll find that there's more and more cases, whether it's residential schools, whether it's just outright genocidal actions, whether it's forcing people to live on reserves and reservations. In like the concept of reservations and reserves in both the United States and Canada is you're taking a whole bunch of Indigenous cultures who had separate languages, separate culture, separate religions, and you're forcing them to exist in a small plot of land together and expect them not to have any kind of problems with that, not to fight each other, not to have any kind of like interactions and fractions. On top of all of this, if you were introducing things like residential schools where you're literally taking their kids away from them, where they are raped and murdered, is it any surprise to anyone that there's incredibly high rates of drug addiction, incredibly mm-hmm. high rates of suicidal ideation, incredibly high rates of alcoholism, right? Exactly what you would expect from this. So on top of that, we fast forward to today, where now these Indigenous cultures are saying, you promised us this like autonomy. You promised us to have the right to self-govern. We want that. And so we are going to battle you in court. And so in the case of Canada, there's been a bunch of Supreme Court battles in which they have effectively won because it's in writing, right? Like you have originally signed a treaty with us saying that we have the autonomous control over our own land, and they're getting their land back. That's what the land back movement is asking for. It's not saying every single white Canadian get the fuck off and go back to Europe. That's not it at all. It's basically at its surface, stop genociding us, please. Yeah, right. Like that's effectively what the land back movement is asking for. And allow us to have autonomy over our own nation states again.
Yeah. As you were talking, here in the States, our Indigenous communities have been hit incredibly hard by COVID. There has been truly devastating loss of elders and leaders in those communities. And I'm curious what that situation has been like in Canada.
Very
similar. I was going to assume Canada did a better job than we did in general.
So good news at the end of this. Yes. It's a dot, dot, dot. All right. So it'll be a dot, 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 but. Unfortunately, in Canada, just like in the United States, like what did COVID really show to all of us, right? It really exemplified, and I think it was good because it radicalized a lot of our friends. You might have liberal friends, sure. You know, have been pushed for the left, how we stratify society, how we actually classify society. So anyone who was a frontline worker, you most likely were disproportionately going to be someone of color, right? You're going to be someone who's Latine. You're going to be someone who is Black, someone who's Indigenous. And as a result of that, you probably were exposed to COVID more than you would have had otherwise. So those disproportionate high rates of deaths are experienced in those categories for those reasons. So it really shows you under capitalism, mm-hmm. how we actually literally stratify ourselves based on race, something that isn't real, right? That's how we classify human beings. So that's nice. The good news is in Canada, when we started our COVID vaccination programs, as well as our treatment, there was prioritization immediately for Indigenous cultures, especially because in somewhere like British Columbia, where I live, up north, there's a community of Indigenous people called the Haida Gwaii, and they have gorgeous, gorgeous land with beaches and all this kind of stuff. And they were very heavily hit by COVID because they specifically said, we do not have the infrastructure. We don't have hospitals. We don't have, anything that is going to be able to prevent us from really getting hit by this. Please don't visit us. Don't have vacationing trips to the beaches here. Don't do all that kind of stuff because we will get devastated by this. And no one listened. And of course, a whole bunch of, privileged people went over there to vacation and they got in high rates of COVID. And of course, they started experiencing high rates of death and all that kind of stuff. But the actual, vaccination program specifically addressed Indigenous peoples and said that they should get priority based on that. So that is a bit of good news, is that there has been a very good rollout for that in this country.
Well, that's something, at least I'm glad to hear it. But what you just described is yet another example of the importance of the land back movement, of people without their best interest at heart taking advantage of them, and the government continuing to ignore the needs, the infrastructural needs that they have.
And then when it's over, go in and be like, oh, we'll help now a little bit.
Well, that's great. I that's wonderful. Prioritize the people that should be prioritized for vaccination purposes.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I'm sure there's cases of cases similar to that all across North America. I don't know how the rollout was in the US. Like, y'all seem to have such rapid vaccination programs that I'm assuming Indigenous people at least got some kind of outreach. I don't know.
Look
how
up
it is in
the stats.
From what I understand, it's at least gotten somewhat better in the Southwest. Like the Navajo reservation, I know initially had some pretty serious problems, but they organized like a significant effort to deal with it. And I think they're like, I'm going to double check on that. But
what I do know is within the past month, I had a friend traveling through. You know, the Southwest, and was in Navajo country and spoke with somebody. And, even though people had mostly been the mask mandates, everything was still shut down.
Yeah.
And he got into a conversation with someone and they said, well, it's because the elders have been hit really hard. And this is the community is, out of respect and out of abundance of caution that they are going, taking things very, very slow in reopening.
They outpace the rest of the nation, and they have 60% of the Navajo Nation is fully vaccinated. Right. And again, earlier on, and like they got hit pretty hard earlier on, there was a pretty significant effort to, deal with that.
That's really good to hear, though. At least,
something.
Yeah.
Again, it's like after the fact, like, okay, well, we'll fix what we can, and we'll help what we can now instead of doing the work up top.
Yeah, a lot of stuff could have been done up top. For example, I don't know, literally anything when it started.
That's been good. Bit of a hot take, but all right.
Yeah, there's there's this frustrating shit going around now too, where it's like Fauci was interviewed recently and asked what would you know, it's now because one of his emails early on, he was saying well, we don't know if it doesn't look like masks help. And this is before they knew about asymptomatic carriers and stuff. This is February of 2020. And the journalist asked him knowing what you know now, would you have done anything differently? And he was like, well, of course. Obviously. Right, right. Yes. We knew nothing about a new disease. And yes, if I had all of the information about how the disease worked right when it started, of course we would have done things differently. What a dumb question.
Who among us, if you could look back at everything you've done,
it's like you
I
get
would
in a
have
car
changed
wreck
it.
And somebody's like, if you could go back, would you still ram that Miata?
Would you have worn a seatbelt in the first place?
Do you think it went perfectly? Side question, since you're bringing it up, is there anything in his email? Every email I get I see from him. It's like, yeah, he said that on TV at the time.
No, there's nothing in there. There's nothing like damning. It's like, yeah, it was like fucked up and a difficult, like, obviously there's things to criticize about his role in it and his response.
Yeah, he didn't do a great job.
But like, it's just like,
but like,
yeah.
Everyone I see is like, oh, can you believe this email? I read it like, yeah, he said that on TV. Like, yeah, that day, like, probably.
He said
like,
that to millions of people.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, if we're still in this rabbit hole, just a quick question, because I have you all here. What is the deal with Americans suddenly going down the Wuhan lab theory as being plausible? Why is that happening not only amongst like liberals in America, but also like left-wing media? I'm seeing that pop up on like Rising and other like outlets.
Because we're totally fucked, man. I don't have a better answer than it's fucking chaos here.
I'm sorry
because I feel like this chaos is a contagion that's spreading everywhere. But
yeah, it's just you know, like it's become terrifying because like 58% of Americans now believe that it's like was engineered specifically, whereas the actual potentially credible thing involving the lab is like, well, they were going into these bat caves and getting samples of coronaviruses and there were imperfect security procedures. Well, and it's not impossible that that's how it started, which is very different from how it's being spun by like, it was a bioweapon. No.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like we're so down deep in the shit now that as human beings do science all the time. And sometimes we do it poorly and then accidents happen. It is being framed not just as like it was a bioweapon, but it was a bioweapen funded by Fauci himself.
Yeah. Or
and
Bill
they,
Gates.
And they made this so that it could get out. And then it'll be like a global pandemic. And then they're going to convince everybody to wear masks and obey. Because in a world where like there's no fucking privacy and facial recognition software, all the governments want people to wear masks. That makes complete sense. Yes. We're all on board with that.
The one thing
right?
you can say like, about the coronavirus is it was good for all of the governments.
Yeah, they loved it. And like the big thing after they've created this global bioweapon together, then they're going to do a vaccine and they're going to make sure that people get that vaccine because there's something in there that you don't want in you.
We give vaccines
to people every fucking day, all the time.
I have a microchip
in the flu vaccine. Sorry, Katie.
In the last month, I've met a lot of people, really wonderful people who truly have concerns about the origin of this. And, you know, and there's been deep fakes. There's been lots of stuff circulating of Bill Gates saying XYZ about how he's going to make money off of, you know, all the deaths in India and shit like that. And it's really, 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 really hard to convince somebody to change their mind at this point. And it's chaos. It's just really hard. So like, yes, all that stuff, all that frustrating stuff is true, but at the end of the day, it's also really tragic. It's really a huge divide that I don't know how we fix. If I try to talk about it in conversations and like just try to use reason, I mean, there is truth. Their Wuhan lab had security issues, like health and safety issues that Donald Trump had been alerted to like 8 months before. I can't remember the time frame, but it's like very clear.
What's the correlation with that and Fauci, though? I don't understand how that connects.
I'm not sure. He gets wrapped up with Bill Gates, and it's
because
an idea that he has an investment in the vaccine.
Some of Wuhan's funding came from the NIH.
Okay.
And that's being framed. I've seen people literally say, like, Fauci funded Wuhan's research. Like, well, that's
just madness.
Like, right, the NIH gave some funding, and that doesn't mean they're making a bioweapon to start this a hoax of a
pandemic. That's what always comes down to is it's like, do you think people would create a bioweapon against themselves, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
that like threatens their families and lives. And I guess it comes down to the idea of population control. I don't know.
It's not doing that. It's barely killed anyone when you compare it to like the global population. It has not done a population control.
I don't see how that would be to the benefit of China, because like everyone depends on them for global commerce.
All of these rich people who are supposedly responsible don't get to do their vacations anymore. Like, they like flying places. They like going to Ibiza and whatever. Like, they can't
Did they make money off of it?
Although they made tons of fucking money last year.
They made a ton of money, so it's hard to argue against that.
But again, if you're going to be like, well, they did it for the money, why isn't the theory that fucking Jeff Bezos organized it? He's the guy who made, like, it wasn't fucking Fauci who made the most money off of this shit. It was the people... It was like fucking Tiger King in the fucking,
Because Jeff Bezos delivers your fucking face masks. I don't mean the good kind, like the protect you kind. I just mean whatever things that you want delivered overnight, your foot scrubs and your shelving
my foot
unit.
Massager that I turn on when I mute my audio because Sophie gets mad if I have it directly into the mic and she realizes it.
People like Jeff Bezos.
Well, we also need, you know, there's a lot of resentment and anger towards Fauci specifically. He's been the face of this for all year. So like, okay, well, there's an email that says like this other organization was partially funded. Then they're gonna make that connection. A lot of people want to go to war with China.
Well, that was what I was gonna ask. Is it saber rattling towards antagonism?
I think it's
it depends on who you're talking
and,
to.
And moral saber rattling. I don't think any of them want to go to, because war with China is the end of life on Earth. You know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, absolutely. But, I don't think anyone legitimately wants to go to war with China.
But the posturing of it is
And the blaming of the political invasions and all that stuff. It's just the only thing they know how to do. And like, you can't make it do that with Mexico anymore. It just doesn't work. People and it was like, whatever. They're not like, it just isn't, it doesn't work as well for the fascists anymore. So now we're freaking out about China, and in another 10 years, if there's still people, they'll have found another thing to screech about. Like,
can't wait.
Like drunken hogs.
This has been a fun tangent. I want to, before we run out of time.
Yeah. Sorry.
Back. Don't be sorry. This was great. Great spirited.
I appreciate you apologizing. People apologize to me. Makes me feel like a big man.
So we bring
man.
Canadians on here, right?
I know. I just love the way you say sorry. I do.
Better than the Pope.
You know, it was fun. One of the first places I went outside the U.S. was with a bunch of Canadians. We all went down to Guatemala. And it was nice. Because a bunch of Canadian mining companies had just committed some horrible crimes against humanity in Guatemala. Yep. And so everyone was angrier at the Canadians than they were at the Americans, which is not a thing you encounter often as a traveling American.
Nice little treat.
Yeah, it's like, fuck Canada, right?
America rules.
What's the country that never fucked with Guatemala?
A crumb of oppression, please.
Mentioned wanting to talk about some positive things.
Good spin. Good
yes.
News.
Yes. I try to do that, especially when I talk about things that are quite so abhorrent and dark. It's okay. So it's quite similar to what has happened with Israel and Palestine, in that I have been dealing with this kind of stuff most of my life. And I've been dealing with the political stuff pretty professionally for the last little while. And this year was probably the biggest shift I'd ever seen in terms of public discourse going towards Israeli war crimes, for example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling a very similar thing in the undercurrent towards Canada's treatment of Indigenous peoples. Mm-hmm. And perhaps the idea of people simply wanting autonomy over their own land, who, by the way, benefits all of us. Like, I don't know if everyone's read National Geographic's exploré of all this, but apparently Indigenous peoples make up about 5% of the population globally and are responsible for 80% of the protection of biodiversity on the entire planet.
Wow. 80%. I did not know that, but I do believe that. Yes.
Yeah. One of the things that's happening right now is kind of every living being on Earth is in the hands of a bunch of Indigenous militias in Brazil, Chile, and Colombia, who are trying to stop the rainforest from being completely destroyed. Because if just in the Brazilian Amazon, Bolsonaro succeeds in the amount of deforestation he has promised, it will release more carbon annually than the United States and China put together.
How can they just... I just don't understand. You see how bad this is. They know what... Sorry.
But money, Katie.
Well, but yeah. Money if yeah. you want a place yeah. to
you
live.
You protect your
burgers.
You gotta, yeah, exactly.
I can but buy a place to live with money.
But it's not you, dear kids, or your kids' kids want a place to live. It's short-term mm-hmm. gains, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, they can clear out the rainforest, but they'll be fine. It's your children's children mm-hmm. who will not have a life on this planet, pretty much.
Yeah, that's but I mean, there's a pretty good chance they'll be dicks.
Sure.
True.
I mean, do they really deserve it at that point?
Yeah, they're all going to be fail sons anyway uh-huh. at this point.
But anyway, yeah. we've taken it away from your positive spin, sorry. Which really is positive, and I appreciate.
yeah, and that has not only been seen, obviously, in the public discourse, the Overton window being shifted, which is a beautiful thing to witness in real time, but also within the legal legislations that's happening across this country. There has been a number of incredible court cases that have been won in Canada. The most recent one, and this is the biggest little, straight up dose of opium I can give you, is the Squamish Nation of British Columbia won a massive land back settlement. They won the most expensive bougie, and I mean bougie in the purest sense, property of Vancouver. Property in Vancouver is the most expensive in North America right now. It's obscene how expensive it all is. This lot, like little plot of land, is waterfront. Like we're talking $2 to $3 million houses on every single like little square that is there, has been won by the Squamish Nation. And what they've decided to do with it is they're going to build low income housing for everybody, not just for Indigenous people. Everyone can live there, on top of which they're doing it with complete green architecture. And they're going to incorporate more living greenery in it than has ever been built on any apartment or complex in Canadian oh, wow. history.
That's pretty rad. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's fucking sweet. Like,
isn't it? And when you see the photos of this, like their plans, have you ever seen those memes where it's like, this is the future that communists want, if mm-hmm. not only for this one, you know, that future yeah, space yeah, yeah. world? Yeah. It literally looks like that. Like it is the pictures of apartments with all these like trees and animals all over them. It is an absolute beautiful thing to see. So if anyone listening to this wants to Google that, it'll give you a little jolt of happiness, I think.
What is it again? Say the name of it.
The Squamish Nation in British Columbia.
Yeah.
And you can look up, you can Google their development plans in Vancouver, and you'll see news articles with the photos of it pop up. And again, they look straight out of those memes. It's like, this is the future that, socialists want, or something like that.
Yeah. Or like, this is the world if there were no lawyers.
Oh,
whatever.
Wow.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
Isn't it? Isn't yeah. it just? Yeah.
Yeah. Into it.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm.
I love that.
And also it's really cute that it's like, it's not just for Indigenous people. They're not like, okay, we got the land back and now it's our land. Now get the fuck off, colonizers, or anything like that. It's just straight up, we want to make low income housing for everybody.
Yeah.
Which goes goodness. To show you.
Yeah. Maybe there's a lesson yeah. there mm-hmm. about what's good.
yeah. Oh, Cody.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you, plug your stuff, etc.?
Yeah, thank you so much. So I'm Lance of The Surfs TV. You can find us everywhere social media is sold at The Surfs TV. So twitter.com/TheSurfsTV. Instagram, twitch.tv/TheSurfsTV, OnlyFans/TheSurfsTV.
Okay. You've got all of the sites.
All of them. We have them on lockdown. It was an absolute pleasure to be with all of you. Like I said, I've been a big fan for a long time. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, we'd love to have you back anytime.
We have a question we like to ask all of our guests before they leave.
Oh,
which
we do.
Is, if you had to fight a hippopotamus to the death, what is the oldest hippopotamus you think you could successfully take out barehanded?
What's the age a hippo reaches before dying?
That's my question. Right,
like, I mean, they can live a decent amount. I mean, but they're going to be huge at that.
40 to 50 years.
I would say that the question is,
kill one.
How old before they are full grown? I'd say newborn.
Oh, so you're going for the babies.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to kill a hippo, your best bet's a baby.
See, for me, I was thinking maybe a lethargic one that had like Alzheimer's or something and didn't understand what was happening.
Right, like on the top tier, like a 58-year-old, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to hit it and it keeps saying, "Who are you?"
Mm. Choke it out while it remembers.
I'm your grandson. This is not fun joking. I don't like joking.
It's not a joke. Katie, people need to think about these things.
Well, did you remember that viral question that popped up all over the internet? That was like, which animals could you successfully beat up? And everyone was like, oh, I could take out an eagle. I could beat up a bear. When I saw that, I was like, all of you are clowns. But then I saw that viral clip of the woman. Did you see the one who like was saving her cats?
And she shoves that bear. Yes.
She just shoves the bear.
Oh. I was like, whoa. All right. Yeah.
Like with just like part of her, not even both her arms. She's like, fuck off, right. Bear.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look this up.
And saved all her pets.
Well, they need to address that question to be like, what animal can you take if you had the power of mother?
Yeah. Yeah, true. I mean, there's a great story from like 10 years ago from a guy in British Columbia who was hiking with his dog. And I think it was a grizzly attacked him and his dog. And he beat it to death with a tree branch. Now, it also tore most of his scalp off. Like, it was pretty... But he did successfully take a bear on in a fight. So it's not impossible.
As you do. With a stick, apparently. All right.
Good to know. My dad has advised me, you just make yourself as big as possible, which I'm like, really? You see a bear, another animal.
You're supposed to make a lot of noise, right?
I've taken when I'm hiking by myself in wooded areas, I grab some big sticks with me.
Get a big stick.
I click them. I'm a worrier. It just makes me enjoy my time a little better to have some sticks.
You could get one of those coyote vests, but for a human
person. It's not a bad point.
Spiky jacket.
Just full body armor workouts. Anyway. Go.
Sorry. Oh, I was just going to quickly say before you leave, I will say to any listeners, if you want to buy one of those orange shirts, which they represent the missing and murdered Indigenous children, please buy them from Indigenous retailers and sellers. There's a big problem online right now of people selling them who happen to just be like, you know, white middle income Canadians because they just have to sell an orange shirt. Please specifically buy them from Indigenous.
Don't get them really from like jakepaul.com or something.
Yeah.
We'll try to find one. Oh, God. We'll try to find one good, unless you happen to have one you can send us that we can.
I can send you some links.
We will share that on our social media as well.
Mm hmm.
Very cool.
Although we are sponsored by JakePaul.com.
Yeah.
True. But like we're not, so that's another reason why we shouldn't hawk that. Like we hawk the website, not specific merch.
Robert knows how much I hate that joke.
I know. I was really hoping
Logan Paul?
Floyd Mayweather was going to give
kind
Logan
of actually
the Boom Boom Mancini treatment.
All right, that's it.
Lance,
that's it
thank
for
you
us.
Again.
Thank you, Lance.
Everybody.
No, thank you all so much. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the people who are listening. Goodbye.
Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.